Well, good afternoon. Dr. Stan Reck here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That'll determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us Elwood McQuaid, and we're going to be talking about his book, Persecuted. Mr. McQuaid, are you there?
I am, doctor.
And it's good to have you with us. And, of course, you're talking about exposing the growing intolerance towards Christianity. You know, I don't think most Christians in America can conceive of a position where or an eventuality where we will go through the same sort of persecution that, of course, is happening all across the world. And, you know, my feeling, and I think you express it as well, is the most Christians really are unconcerned about Christian persecution.
Yes, they are, and that's one of the great enigmas that we have, because we Christians are supposed to be a compassionate and caring people, but when it comes to the matter of Christians bleeding in the streets, suffering and dying in other parts of the world, we seem to feel isolated from that and not very much concerned about it.
Well, you point out that we live in a far different world than you and I grew up in. And back in the 50s and 60s, why, this was a moral country. Nobody questioned the Christianity, Christian views, Christian morality was the foundation of a society. Even if most people or many people were not Christians, everybody knew that we had a nation, a moral nation, and its precepts were based upon Christianity. But that certainly has changed in the last half century, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, it has. You know, I mentioned in the book that when I was a young man, I was reared in Michigan, a little town called Romulus, which is right now practically taken up with Metro Airport. That's Detroit, Sisler's Detroit in that area. But we were not Christian in that town, by any stretch of the imagination. There were two churches. One was liberal. The other one was undercover. There were three bars, and they did very well. And we could not be called a Christian community. However, everyone knew the rules. The standards for that community were Judeo-Christian traditional standards. We knew that you didn't steal. We knew the bad guys from the good guys. We knew right from wrong. And we lived according to those standards. But it's a very, very different situation today.
It certainly is. And, of course, you simply point out that throughout the rest of the world, you know, where, of course, Christianity really is not the predominant philosophy, the Judeo-Christian philosophy is not predominant, there is terrible, terrible persecution of Christians going on all around the world today. And yet, of course, we very, very seldom even emphasize this. I mean, if we had programs every day on television or every week our ministers talked about the Christians being slaughtered in the Sudan, there'd be an awareness of this. But these things are sort of pushed into the background. And, well, the really important things are, you know, who's going to win the NBA tournament this year, or certainly football is going to be starting before long, or certainly Lacey Peterson, or, you know, but we seem to be emphasizing all the wrong things by television and the things that Americans are thinking about.
Yes, we are. And one of the problems that we have, of course, several that we can get into, but one of the obvious problems we have is that most of our Christian community, unfortunately, I'm talking about evangelicals, get their news of the world through the secular prism that they see on television and in the media. And that's one of the great stumbling blocks we have.
Well, that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, trying to reach the Christians to get them to take their eyes off of television and start listening and thinking and questioning. And, well, we'll be right back here in just a moment with our special guest this afternoon. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is certainly Elwood McQuaid. We're talking about his book, Persecuted, Exposing the Growing Intolerance Towards Christianity. And, of course, Elwood McQuaid is the former executive director of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. He's the editor-in-chief of Israel My Glory magazine. He's a respected spokesman and sought-after speaker in both Christian and Jewish circles. So certainly you're out there trying to reach the people with what's going on today. And, of course, why don't we just sort of get your thoughts of why is America changing and what should be done?
Well, I think that America has been devastated by what has happened in the West. Much of it was exported to, imported from Europe. Of course, Freudianism, Darwinianism, higher criticism that shredded the Word of God and made the Bible a myth and did all that was within their power to destroy the credibility of Scriptures and the inerrancy of Scriptures. And then we've gone through this this terrible time of the 60s when there was a cultural repudiation of our Judeo-Christian heritage and hedonism and actually a paganized society was developed socially. And now that's coming into the political realm and has corrupted the moral fiber of this country. And I'm afraid, Dr. Stan, that it has impacted many of our evangelical Christian friends, and that's another big, big problem we have to deal with.
Well, you know, of course, the war changes society, and of course, this is why I believe that we have as many wars. I believe that people want to change society, but certainly the Vietnam War was the most frustrating, infuriating war, because it should have been obvious to anybody with two brain cells we weren't trying to win the war.
Right.
We were just there fighting a war, and we were sending our boys into a meat grinder. I mean, certainly they could win the battles, but they were never allowed to win the war. I talked to the American ambassador to Vietnam at that time, and he told me, you know, we could have won the war at any time. I talked to a four-star Marine general, General Lew Walt, and he told me exactly the same thing. The diplomat was William H. Sullivan. And William H. Sullivan, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, told me, I never understood why we didn't just win the war. I could have won the war in 2 months. And, of course, he was a personal friend of many of the people we would oppose,
sure.
The Rockefellers and all, but he was an honest man. He just said, why didn't we win the war? And I think everybody should understand, we didn't win the war because we didn't go there to win the war, but the war certainly changed America forever and began to, of course, erode our belief in America. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan once more, and now all of our stations are on board, and of course our guest this afternoon is Elwood McQuaid. We're talking about his book, Persecuted, Exposing the Growing Intolerance Towards Christianity, because of course there is a growing intolerance even right here in America, as we see, certainly here in California. They're talking about taking One Nation Under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. People who want to say a prayer in school, you know, maybe at a football game or something, and you can't do that because somebody might be offended. Well, what about the majority of the people who are offended by the sex education and the pro-homosexual education? Oh, well, that's their right, you know. And the way that we accept this illogic of everything going on today, oh, if they're offended, why we have to stop doing what we're doing? If we're offended, why we don't have a right to object? And the Christians seem to back down time and time and time again. And, of course, the church is backing down. This is the problem. We don't seem to have the leadership that has the willingness to take a stand and say what's going on today is wrong. The emperor has no clothes, and this is the way it really is.
Yes, and you know, Dr. Stan, I'll tell you that it's something that is very difficult to put into words. Actually, we here in America believe that what we have is normal Christianity. We have freedom, we have liberty, we can express ourselves, women are treated with dignity, and all the rest here in America. But in most of the world, outside of this country, that is not true. There is not religious freedom. There is not liberty. 95% of Christians on the face of this earth are under some form of persecution at this moment. Statisticians tell us that more Christians are being slaughtered today for their faith in Jesus Christ than ever since the first century. Now that says that there's something desperately, desperately wrong with the culture that we live in and our attitude toward what's happening to our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. And unless there is a drastic change in the thinking of evangelicals and evangelicals deciding to become activists on this issue, we're going to be more and more isolated, and we're going to see more of the same, and we're going to see it in this country as well.
Well, of course, on page 22, you talk about, you know, the dramatic change that we've seen, you know, as far as, well, let's see, 467% increase in violent crimes going from 1960, 463% increase in the number of state and federal prisoners,
right.
A 461% increase in out-of-wedlock births, more than 200% increase in the percentage of children living in a single-parent a home. And of course, all of these things reflect the breakdown of our society.
Yeah.
We have almost 1%, not quite 1% of our population in jail. But when you look at the number of people on parole or on probation, I mean, we're well over 1% of our society is there. In fact, I mean, it's said that, you know, certainly a third of the young black men in this country are either in prison, on probation, or parole. Now, that is an unacceptable figure in a free society.
Yes, it is. And in a society that's supposed to be ruled by law. And the fact of the matter is that this cultural revolution that we talked about earlier has so undercut our ability to carry out the responsibility that has been given to government. I saw the other day something that was very disconcerting to me. You mentioned what was going on, taking under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, which seems like a trivial thing to some people. It isn't. It's a mark of what's gone wrong with this society. I saw granite inscriptions outside of some schools in Ohio with the Ten Commandments on them by the doors of those schools. You may have seen it. That were being removed by cranes because they mentioned the Ten Commandments. Now, raising a society, raising young people with no moral absolutes, with no moral bearing, is going to not only produce more of the dreadful situation that you just described in detail to us, but it's going to increase to the point that we wonder what's going to happen. Is this society going to be able to survive?
But, you know, the Supreme Court held in that decision that outlawed the Ten Commandments that, you know, if you had the Ten Commandments, they wouldn't do any good if they were read. If they were read, the children might meditate on them. If they meditate on them, they might obey them. And that would be a violation of the wall of separation between church and state. In other words, if they believe that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, that thou shalt commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, if children were to obey that sort of thing, you can only wonder what sort of insanity is in the minds of the justices on the Supreme Court, or maybe they knew exactly what they were doing, because there is no incidence in all history where a nation has turned against God, where that nation has survived, and those justices knew exactly what they were doing. They knew what was going to be down the line, and the trouble is that the good people have accepted this.
That's right, and say nothing, like sheep to the slaughter. I have three of my grandchildren with my wife and I this week here in Virginia, where we make our permanent home. And I take them to the YMCA, and there's a big banner in the entrance of the YMCA that says this institution exists to exemplify and inculcate Christian principles to these young people. I wonder how long even institutions like the YMCA will be able to say that and get by with it.
Well, of course, we've seen what's happened to the Boy Scouts here,
yes,
who said we don't want, you know, homosexuals as scoutmasters, because we've got sued so many times because, of course, they've molested the boys. I mean,
yes.
I mean, these here are people who have an obsession with sex. That's why they're homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, on one hand, you'll see a court in one room where the Boy Scouts are being sued because they don't have homosexuals as scoutmasters. In the next court, they're being sued because one of the homosexual scoutmasters molested a boy. And I think that at least, you know, the slogan of the Scouts was physically, I, you know, pledge my duty to God and my country. And I remember the part, physically strong and mentally alert and morally straight. And morally straight means, of course, adhering to the rules of Judeo-Christian principles.
Yes, and the fact of the matter, Dr. Stan, is that with these ludicrous judgments being made and decisions being made against institutions like the Boy Scouts that have been essential to the fiber of the upbringing of young people, boys in this nation, and the Girl Scouts doing the same thing, these decisions will simply shut these organizations down. And if these organizations are shut down, what do they propose to put in the place of them? That's the question.
Well, I think that we're seeing a nation in crisis. But, of course, my concern is, where is the church today? Where are the good Christians? Where are the vast majority in this country? Evangelical Christians, Catholics, holding to the same, and even conservative Jews, holding to the same basic moral standards. And, of course, everybody's afraid to speak out. Those who aren't afraid to speak out don't have a voice. And that's why we have to take advantage, of the few places, a few ministries that do have a voice.
Yes, I have in the book Persecuted a chapter called Where Are the Signs in Front of the Churches? And it's interesting to me because the man who gave me the idea for that chapter heading was a man, Paul Marshall, who wrote a book on the persecution of Christians, who lives in Toronto, Canada. And he said that he was struck by the fact that when he drove down Bathgate Street, Bathurst Street in Toronto, on his way to work every day, while the Russian Jews were incarcerated behind the Iron Curtain, in front of every synagogue, it didn't matter what the persuasion they happened to be, whether they were Orthodox or liberal or conservative or what have you, every synagogue had before it a sign in the yard, remember the persecuted Jews. And he said, then it struck me, what about Christians? Where are the signs in front of the churches? And we know, and we've just been discussing the fact, that this is not simply something that's on a signboard in front of a church. It's the very fabric of the attitudes and the course of ministry that's going on within those churches and within the hearts of the people that are sitting by, doing nothing, and sitting in silence while people are being slaughtered in the name of false religions the world over.
Well, there's, of course, this terrible persecution and murder of large numbers of Christians in Nigeria today.
Yes.
Because, of course, our good friends, the Saudis, are financing the militant Muslims there who are burning down the churches and killing the Christians.
Right, right.
And where is the outcry from our government?
The outcry is not there, and I'll tell you why. For one reason, the government is more concerned about economics than it is about Christians. And the attitude of many in the secular arena is the fact that particularly those people, you may remember that just not long ago, Bonnie Weatherall, 41-year-old missionary nurse in Lebanon, was going to open a prenatal clinic that helped Lebanese women. She put the key in the door to the clinic. A man walked up behind her and summarily executed her. About a week or so later, three medical missionaries in Yemen were shot down, gangland style, and killed. And the attitude seemed to be, this didn't get a blip on the screens, by the way, in the world here. And these were Americans who were killed, executed by these Muslim terrorists. And the fact of the matter was, that here are people who are giving their lives to serve other people, and they're shot down like criminals, and no one is paying any heed to it.
Well, all I can say is that I'm reminded, of course, what Martin Niemöller wrote about, when they first came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, so I wasn't concerned, and then they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, and then, of course, they came for the Workers' Party, then they came for the Catholics, and I was a Protestant. I wasn't concerned. I don't think we should ever forget how he concluded his remarks. For when they came for me, there was nobody to be concerned. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have an obligation for our fellow Christians, for everyone, but certainly if we won't protect our Christians, who will we protect? We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Book
perspective will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Due to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insights into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, are rising health care costs putting your family at risk? If so, you're not alone. Millions of Americans don't have any health care protection at all, and one major medical problem can mean financial ruin. But there's an answer for Christian families. It's called MediShare, a Christian alternative that brings believers together to share medical bills. Now, MediShare is affordable. You'll save thousands of dollars in your medical costs every year while providing real security for your family. MediShare is biblical. This is a community of committed, caring Christians who will be there for your time of need, and they'll share your medical bills, pray for you, send cards, and send letters of encouragement. To learn more about MediShare, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and request a free copy of the MediShare booklet. There's absolutely no risk, no obligation, but call today 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask about MediShare. And then, of course, we want to mention something about Phenopoly. Phenopoly is a program that's designed for children who are victims of a government school. Of course, anybody can benefit from it, but it's a program designed to teach children and young folks and even older folks how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. It's played really like Monopoly, and of course, you have a die, you shake, and you move things around the board, and you get property, but really it's aimed to teach you the 40 sounds of the English language, the 12 basic rules of the English language. Phonopoly was designed by Myrna Culbreth, who actually originally designed the phonics game. Now, of course, most of these programs cost $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books that explain to you really what's going on today and exactly how they've dumbed down the American children. And you better know, understand what they're doing in their schools, because what's happening is not accidental. If you'd like to get Phenopoly, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I think you'll be happy if you do. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Elwood McQuaid. We're talking about his book, Persecuted, Exposing the Growing Intolerance Towards Christianity. And how can people get copies of your book?
They can go to their local Christian bookstore. They can get on Barnes & Noble or on Amazon.com, get it that way. Or they can call our toll-free number, 888-256-1000. 888-256-1000, and they will tell them what they need to do to get a copy
All right.
of Persecuted.
All right, fine. That's Persecuted, Exposing the Growing Intolerance Towards Christianity as it exists today. And, of course, you talk about the insulated by affluence. So what are you really talking about there?
Well, I'm talking about the fact that American Christians have been deluded, actually, many, by the culture that we live in. We've adopted the attitudes of the culture. This is a feel-good society. This is a society that doesn't want anything unpleasant coming into their lives. Charles Colson said a few years ago, Dr. Stan, that this generation of Christians has been assimilated by the culture. And I'm afraid in many respects that's true. And we have so much in this country. We have become so self-absorbed in this country. We have been taught in many of our seminars and in many of our churches that we are center and circumference of everything. It's me and my little group. And what can I do to get along in this culture? And I'm afraid that we don't want to hear unpleasant things. I'm afraid that we don't want to hear about people who are bleeding and dying in other countries and what is very unpleasant for us. And so I think that we have been victimized by our affluence, and I'm concerned about what it's going to take to wake us up.
Well, I am too. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY if you're out across America, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we're talking about persecuted. We're talking about what's happening to Christians, certainly in the Sudan. But it's not just in the Sudan. It's the Christians living in Angola in Africa today. When does anybody talk about them? Are the Christians living in Nigeria? It's about really the Christians that are living certainly in the chaos of Rhodesia, or they call it Zimbabwe today, although it's certainly they're not being persecuted because the Christians, at least not right at the present time, but certainly the entire society there is imploding because they believed Henry Kissinger. They believed the representatives of the United States who said, look, if things get out of hand, we'll be there to help. You can trust us. We'll be there. Just turn over power. And, of course, we insisted they turn over power not to the man who was duly elected, who was Bishop Mazzaweo, but to a communist named Mugabe, a lifelong Marxist who was trained, actually, in Russia. And, of course, he was actually the person that we put in power. And you have to understand, ask, why would we do something that stupid unintentionally? Well, now, what can the average person who is concerned about what's going on do today?
Let's first, Dr. Stan, I'd like to pursue what you just said because it's such a dramatically important point. I'm afraid that Christians have not been informed, and this is one of the things we can talk about in a few minutes, but Christians have not been informed. I pastored churches for 24 years. I'm at heart a pastor, and of course I've been doing this ministry I'm doing now for many decades, but I will venture to say that you can go into almost any evangelical church on any given Sunday of the year, and you will never hear from the pulpit one word from a Sunday school class, one word from the prayers that are offered in worship, one word about persecuted Christians who are dying in other parts of the world. Here in America, we have been besieged by this idea that our problem with the radical Islamic element, which is doing much of this this terror across the world, is Israel. And if America would just divorce itself from Israel and get away, that the Muslim world would fall in love with us, we'd have a great relationship, everything would be fine. But if you look around the world, some of those countries that you mentioned, we can talk about the Philippines, we can talk about Indonesia, terrible slaughter of Christians in Indonesia by the Lashkar Jihad. We can talk about Nigeria. We can talk about Pakistan. We can talk about Egypt. We can talk about these countries in Africa. We can talk about the Middle East. These people are not Jews. They are not Americans. They are Christian believers in Jesus Christ, and they're dying and being slaughtered by the hundreds and the thousands and even into the millions because of their faith in Christ.
Well,
that's something that should concern us.
Amen. It certainly should. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest, Mr. Elwood McQuaid. And so we'll be back in just a moment here.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the moment I wanted to just mention to you about the Big Berkey Waterfellers. The Big Berkey Waterfellers have been around for 150 years. The Big Berkey itself is made of stainless steel. It filters about 25 gallons of water a day. You put it in the top. It goes through the ceramic filters that are filled with activated charcoal. Water comes out the bottom. And, of course, it's an efficient means of getting bacteria and other items out of your water supply. It's portable. It's attractive wherever you're going to set it. And, of course, ordinarily these sell for $279. We offer them for $239. The Big Berkey water filter certainly will filter lake and pond and river water, potable water, and safe. So you can get it for $239 by calling 1-800-544-8927. $10 shipping, and of course you throw in a four-tape set or a video that we produce, but the Big Berkey is not available in either California or Iowa. However, there is a water filter. It's called a Berkey Light. It's made out of the material you make bulletproof glass out of. It has a different type of filter. They're really purifying filters more than the ceramic filters. They certainly are portable units, and they can be placed any place you want to. Very attractive. If you'd like to see pictures of the Berkey Light and the Big Berkey, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And look at the website and look at the pictures. The Berkey Light is $199. Now, if you want to get it with lights and all the gongs and bells, why, that's $259. But we've got a nice one. It's $199. It'll filter 25 gallons a day. These filters have to be changed every 2 to 4 years, depending on how much you use them. But it's a great water filter. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Elwood McQuaid, and we're talking about his book, Persecuted, and we've got calling from Ontario, Canada, or is that Toronto? No, from Toronto, Canada, George. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. I am calling from Toronto. Interesting in terms of the fact that we don't hear much about the Christian persecution, but I'm just wondering how important is the tax status of the institutions and losing that tax status exemption plays into this whole equation, because a few nights ago here, one of our major Christian networks on TV that's been around for many years, I won't mention the name, but the head of it, they were discussing the whole issue here in Canada with gay marriages, and I've never seen this individual who's head of it so upset, but he basically said, you know, I'm prepared to risk the tax status here of our institution to fight this. And I'd just like to know how important that is.
Is he Canadian or is he a...
Can I mention his name?
Sure, go ahead.
It's David Maines, who's in charge of 100 Huntley Street and CTS.
All right, fine. What are your thoughts on that, Elwood?
Yes, I know David, and I know that work in Canada. And I can say that this is a very serious problem. And it is a problem that we're facing, I think, in Western society, I think in North America, in the United States potentially, and in Canada as well, because we are increasingly, those of us who stand for these truths and stand against some of these things that are biblically reprehensible to us as Christians, and if we exercise the prerogatives that are granted to every other citizen in these countries, but are culturally unacceptable we are disenfranchised and shunted aside as an undesirable minority, and for this reason, some of the privileges and rights that are due us as citizens will be attacked and will be taken away from us, and we will be penalized if it's within the power of certain elements in governments to do it. So I think it's a very real problem, and I think it's a very real risk. Standing up for the truth may cost us much more than we ever expected.
Well, George, I think you have to understand that this is a spiritual battle, and people can argue, shouldn't homosexuals have equal rights to everybody else? And, of course, they should have the same right before the law, but there are certain things that God has prescribed in His Word. Our law in America was based upon the Bible, and Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England was the basis of American law for over 100 years after our Constitution was established. The reason we're in the trouble we are today is they have put people into our Supreme Court who have a different agenda. They say the right thing, and then they do the wrong thing, and we say, boy, if we don't get the Republicans in as a president, we'd get Al Gore in, and we're not going to get good people in the Supreme Court. Well, let me point out that 7 of the people on this corrupt Supreme Court were appointed by Republicans. You have to understand they're playing games with us. They control both sides here and, of course, in your country as well. They never give a sucker an even chance, George, because he might then understand what's really going on.
True. May I make another comment?
Sure you can.
It's before one can address the persecution overseas, one in a certain way has to, you take care of your house at home first. And, for instance, last night I tried to get through. We have a talk show host, and you've been on this particular radio station twice, Dr. Monteith.
Sure, I know.
And this is a Christian talk show who's also on CTS and also on this station. And they were addressing the whole issue of the Pride Parade, et cetera, that was here yesterday. And I wanted to address the issue of the funding of the tax-exempt foundations to the gay and lesbian movement. And I have to tell you, I was supposed to be like the fourth or fifth caller. I was left hanging for over an hour. And then when I brought up John Dewey, Kinsey, and then the gay and lesbian movement, I was the only one in an hour and a half that was immediately cut off and not allowed to even go into any further discussions.
Well, all I can say is that this whole Kinsey was financed by the Rockefeller Foundation. They have financed most of the occult and many of the occult and evil things that have happened in this country, communism, socialism. But the fact that the average person doesn't know that reflects the degree of control. And we have the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, that documents this whole thing. It's an older book, but it's available only to us because we published it. People have to understand that these people knew exactly what they were doing. They just don't want the American people to understand who's really behind what's going on and who finances communism on one hand and then organizes anti-communism on the other, who finances, the gay and lesbian movement on one hand and then, of course, the Christians who speak out against it on the other. Anyway, anything else, George?
I just want to say your April and May articles are just incredible, and I've given them out to people, and I think they're one of the finest two pieces of work that most of the people have read. I just wanted to say that.
Well, God bless you. Wait till you read the next one. I'm just struggling with that one, but the June newsletter, I think it'll just blow the top of your head off. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Keep up the good work.
Bye-bye. Okay, and of course, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger.
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. And I'm afraid that even though I've heard of quite a few comments, usually by Christian folk, that are grievously mortified by what the Supremes did last Thursday. But even still, I'm afraid that we don't apprehend the full horror of that decision, its logical inevitability, and why we're doomed if we continue in this vein, because what I'm getting at, I said abstract of this before, some time back, but I think we just have to repeat at every opportunity that all law is legislation of morality or procedural thereto. Anything from parking tickets to murder to tax to spend, etc. This is all predicated on this morality, which itself is undergirded by one's religious presuppositions, no less true for the atheist, humanist, etc., than it is for the Christian. They do have presuppositions regarding supernaturalism and deity, do they not? Do they not, after all?
Sure, they do. Okay, thanks very much, Roger. Do you have anything to say in response to what Roger was saying?
Well, let me just make a general statement, Dr. Stan, that I think we need to inject right here. And that is that this problem that we have and is being ignored by and large by the Christian community, and we are being taken over by radical minorities that, as far as their numbers are concerned, their voting clout is concerned, is so minuscule that it wouldn't even under ordinary circumstances be listened to. But they are, and they're winning the day. We saw that in that recent decision. Now, with regard to Christians being persecuted, and this movement that is isolating believing Christians, their morals, their values, their traditions, their Judeo-Christian moorings, etc., Jewish writers were the first to be on top of this. Men like Dennis Prager and Don Fetter and A.M. Rosenthal and some of these other men, and what they were writing and saying, Dr. Stan, was this, that you Christians, you evangelicals, had better pay attention to what's happening to you, because we have seen all this before. And when you become alienated from the culture, when you become an undesirable element in the culture, and when you become a voice of dissent that becomes loud enough and powerful enough in the country, sooner or later, they're going to have to determine and decide what to do with you. And that's a danger that believers need to understand is potentially before us unless we get into action and we become activists and do something about what we believe. And I think that reflects pretty much what our brethren were saying from Canada and Pennsylvania a moment ago.
Well, of course, one of the big problems we have today is this this belief, well, God put all these people in positions of power, and we're to pray for them, and I certainly think we should pray for them, but
yeah.
They say, well, if you object to what they're doing, you're in revolt against God. Now, what's wrong with this picture? If you object to these decisions that are legalizing homosexuality and letting them recruit our children in the schools into homosexuality and promote immorality in our schools, if you object to this, you're in revolt against God, and there's something serious wrong with this whole concept, and yet most Christians go along because this is what they're being told from the pulpit.
Yes, and that's precisely one of the things that's wrong with our perceptions about what's going on. When it comes to what the Word of God teaches about civil authority is given the obligation, responsibility, and the authority to keep the peace and to execute laws and to bring stability to a people. Now, to Christians, that gives us great liberty to propagate the faith. But when those decisions contradict the Word of God and go directly against what God commands Christian believers to do, that's a violation of a higher relationship, and we have an obligation to stand up for the truth, whatever that cost might happen to be.
Amen to that. And of course, somebody had called from us over Salinas. We broadcast close to Salinas as well as across the country. And they said there are a couple of good churches over there that are taking a stand. And there are a few churches across America that really are. And we need to support those churches
and
to commend them for it. And of course, but you can be sure, and I suspect that there'll be people coming into those churches who'll just be the most, wonderful Christians, and they'll be wanting to take on responsibility, and most of us don't want to work in the church, and pretty soon they'll be become the leaders of the church, and then they're going to begin to undermine those ministers, and that's how the system is done over and over and over again. I've seen this in churches. I've seen it happen in conservative organizations where these people come in and say all the right things, but they're there to destroy.
Yes.
I think we just have to be wary, and we have to stand behind good people and, of course, not let the people who come in with whispering campaigns undermine those who are willing to take a stand for righteousness.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's our obligation to do this. And the Romans chapter 1 talks about that coming a time that in societies, of course, the way down is when they knew God. They glorified him not as God, became vain in their imagination, foolish hearts being darkened. And the basis of the spiral of degradation that's described in that chapter is change for the sake of change, until finally the people come in with the whispering campaigns and demanding change, change in forms, change in styles, entertainment rather than instruction, and so forth and so on, until finally you get a disintegration of the very thing that we're commanded to stand by and to stand for, and that's the beginning of the end for a church or for an organization.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I think it's so vitally important. Now, you talk in your book about the feel-good church, and I think this is one of the big problems of today, is that there is a movement within Christendom, within the conservative Christian evangelical church, to make us feel good about ourselves, to do away with this idea that we're sinners saved by grace. We want to feel good. We want to get a lot of people in. We want everybody coming to church, whether they believe or not, and we're going to modify the teaching of the church to make it conform to that of society, because that's what people want.
Yeah. Every church has to decide something. You know, when George Barna did a study, it's been several years ago now, and he his polling showed that the baby boomers were going to come back to church, tired of playing with their toys, tired of broken marriages, tired of dead-end lives. And so they were going to try and find reality by coming back to church. Now, I asked the question in print at that time, if that's true, if the baby boomers are coming to church, they are not going to come out of the same traditional background that I came out of as an unchurched person. I came out of a standard of Judeo-Christian morality and mores that I understood to be true. These people have come out of a hedonistic, paganized background of the 60s. They have none of those values, none of those standards, and when they come into the church must ask itself a question. Are we going to meet the needs of these people as they conceive them, or are we going to minister to them as the Word of God conceives their problems to be and deal with those problems? In other words, do we want the bodies, and do we want to entertain these people according to what they tell us to do, or are we going to be true to the Word of God? And I think much of our evangelical community has opted to get the bodies and get the bucks that will come, if they will, and to have the crowds and to entertain rather than instruct.
Well, let's go to Chris calling in from Kentucky. Hi, Chris. Question or comment?
Yes, thank you very much. Great show tonight, and I appreciate you very much. The churches really have fallen, and it's especially with 501c3. There's also legislation in some states where you cannot preach against homosexuality, because then they'll be fined or the church will be seized. It's really sad. I don't know why so many people fear God, and then they get out in the real world and fear man. We've really lost it out here.
I think we don't have enough people who fear God. That's they fear government more than they do God. Hey, thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Let's go to Chris calling from Missouri. Hi, Chris. Quick question.
Yeah, this is Craig.
Oh, Craig, okay.
That's all righty, and I agree with Chris there. Anyhow, my question is, has anyone compiled all the anti-Christian legislation that's been put forth in this country the last, say, three decades?
All right. Do you know anything about anybody who's compiled the anti-Christian legislation that's out there?
No, I don't. I would think some groups like the Christian Legal Society, some of these other organizations, one of them I'm thinking of slips my mind at the moment, but I would think they have compiled a judicial watch, I'm thinking of, that perhaps institutions or organizations of this kind have done that. I'm sure they have to some extent.
We have a great book, Craig. It's called Original Intent. It was David Barton's book. It goes, it lists all of these Supreme Court decisions up to maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And if you haven't seen it, you need to get it. It just happens to be available through Radio Liberty.
Okay, good.
God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Thank you.
All right.
That's a good book. That's an excellent source, Dr.
Yeah, I think it is, too, and we are indebted to David Barton for the wonderful, wonderful job that he's doing. Well, we're just about out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I'm asking our listeners across the country to, Dr. Stan, get concerned enough to, first of all, get on their knees and let's do some serious intercession before God on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted and the problems that are coming to us here in this country. That's the first order of the day. The second is to become activists. Many of us don't like to get involved in politics, but on this issue we have an obligation, as we do on some of the other issues that we've discussed on this program tonight. We have an obligation to be heard. The other side is being heard, and they're winning the day. We need to stand up, be heard. The voice of the prophet needs to ring again throughout this land, and we can be the voice of the prophet.
God bless you, and thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And our guest has been Elwood McCade, and of course his book, Persecuted, Exposing the Growing Intolerance Toward Christianity.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we had. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course this is the time I just wanted to mention the Miracle 2 soap products, and certainly we think that they're really do a good job. I use them. I use the gel. I've had a sore elbow, and I put the gel on there. It seems to make me feel better, and then of course I've had a little rash, and I use the gel there and use it on my hair. Use the soap regularly, but a lot of our people who've used the Miracle 2 soap products have really told us amazing, amazing stories, but we can't make any medical claims. We can just suggest you try using them and see if you like them. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a gel. There is a lotion, and there is a neutralizing solution. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And, of course, you can get an introductory offer simply by giving us a call. And the specially reduced price, that's the Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we want to, of course, mention a book we carry. It's called Regicide, and it's an amazing book. It actually goes into the background of the assassination of President Kennedy from the CIA's point of view. It's written by a friend of ours. In fact, he'll be with us for 2 hours on the Wednesday, Mr. Gregory Douglas, fascinating gentleman. And, of course, he had befriended Mr. Robert Crowley before he died. Mr. Crowley was in charge of assassinations for the CIA. They called it clandestine operations. And so, of course, when Mr. Crowley was about to pass away, he wanted history to know what really happened, so he turned his papers over to Gregory Douglas, and when he did die, Mr. Gregory Douglas went through them. The facts are all there. There's a list of 4,000 CIA assets, including my next-door neighbor and many of the key people in the media, and the story of why, of course, the CIA killed the President of the United States. Call Radio Liberty right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, I just want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And for starting early in the morning and going until 10 o'clock at night, we have an opportunity to talk to people. Of course, we need to expand even more. We need to get our evening program on shortwave. So we're doing 4 hours of shortwave a day and extend it to more stations. We're doing, have about 55, 56 outlets every week. Found out we had a couple of stations I didn't know we did pull down off of the Genesis network. But of course, all of this helps to get information out. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5 HIV war. And help us, of course, reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Now, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to send it. We got a call from one of our, I guess it was George up there in Toronto, who really liked the April and May newsletters. Well, we can't send you too many newsletters. It's expensive, but we'll be glad to send you one newsletter if you haven't taken it before, and hope that you'll want, of course, to join the Radio Liberty family, where you'll get the four best tapes of the month and the monthly newsletter, or you can simply subscribe to the newsletter alone. But if you'd like, of course, a copy, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send that to you. And of course, you can go up on our website at radioliberty.com and pull down all of our newsletters. They're posted there going back many years, because we want you to have access to the information that we've been able to glean over the last 40 years. And you'll get the information there that you'll never hear from Barbara Walters, Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw. And those of you who heard our first hour, our interview with Gregory Plast, he had interviewed Dan Rather on his own program in Great Britain, BBC. And Dan Rather was on his way, of course, to the Gulf. And he said, you know, in the United States, I can't tell the truth. I can't ask the hard questions. If I do, why, I would be in real trouble. They'd necklace me if I was to really ask the right questions. Now, this is Dan Rather. And, of course, as Gregory Plast said, he's known him for years. I mean, Dan Rather's a good reporter. He's just not allowed to report. And that's the way it is, of course, with so many of the people working within the media today. If they want to keep their jobs, why, they keep their mouths shut, or they simply ask the easy marshmallow questions, but don't get anybody upset. Don't ask what happened to the weapons of mass destruction. Of course, those of you who listen to our program know that they were smuggled into Syria long ago, and the government knew that. But then how could they have gotten us to go to war if we hadn't been convinced that Saddam was going to attack us any moment with those weapons of mass destruction? Well, there's so many stories out there. We hope many of you will want to get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which will really help you to understand what's going on. We have that wonderful book, Into the Buzzsaw, by Kristen Breitweiser. 18 essays by people in the media who tried to tell the truth, and, of course, what happened to them. And then, of course, we have our new video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and you can either get the video or the syllabus, or get both of them together at a special reduced cost. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get any of these items. Go to our website, look at the items we have there. Some of them are for sale, and they, of course, the proceeds go, of course, to pay for radio time, which we're buying all across America, trying to get people to understand what's really going on behind the scenes. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, why, God is certainly never again going to bless this nation. And then lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you again, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.